The Pardoner is the most sinister character on the pilgrimage. His portrait in the general prologue shows him deficient in body and depraved in soul, his physical attributes, or lack of them, a metaphor for his sterile spirit. Even his appearance arouses a profound uneasiness. He is a confidence man, operating one of the confidence games that still flourish, manipulating people's religious gullibility and using a real rhetorical gift to get the people to give him money or goods. The Pardoner's trade grew out of a legitimate, if dubious, church practice that was difficult to understand and easy to abuse, the doctrine and practice of indulgences, which was roughly this. Even when you had confessed your sins with genuine regret, there was still something owing, penance of some kind, which could take various forms, which included giving money to some good cause. But careless or unscrupulous people implied that if you gave money to a good cause which they represented, that act in itself bought pardon for your sins. This was not church teaching, but it was an idea widely disseminated and widely believed, because it satisfied, at the same time, the need for forgiveness in some and the need for money in others. Some critics have found a plausible explanation for the Pardoner's indiscreet garrulousness in the fact that he has a pint of corny ale before he begins his confessional prologue. But, of course, one does not need realistic explanations. Because the Pardoner's prologue is a fiction, it depends on the reader's acceptance of convention, as, for example, that people tell tales in polished verse. Realistically, people do not do that. But they do make confessions, sometimes boastfully. We do not have to think that they ever make boastful confessions quite as damning as that of the Pardoner. We accept that he does, as we accept the self-revealing confessional soliloquies of Shakespeare's Shylock or Iago, or Richard III, who is, like the Pardoner, physically deficient. Pardoners had a deservedly bad reputation for telling lewd tales, even in church, to keep their audiences amused, and so more forthcoming with money. Hence, when the host calls on the Pardoner for a tale, the gentles gan to cry, "Let him tell us of no ribaldry." Since the gentles have listened with enjoyment already to the very ribald tales of the miller and the reeve, they must have been expecting something really objectionable from the Pardoner. He disappoints them perfectly with a superbly moral tale. At the heart of his tale is a story that was old when Geoffrey Chaucer put it in the mouth of his Pardoner, and even older when I heard it in church as a boy. Chaucer seemed to believe that all the good stories have already been told, and lie ready to be retold by a new author, in a new way, for a new audience. B. Traven novelized the tale as The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, and John Huston filmed it in the movie of the same name. The originality is in making it new. Having made a confession of his dirty tricks, and then having told a moving moral tale, the Pardoner says something else unexpected, directly to the pilgrims. "And lo, sirs, thus I preach, and Jesus Christ, that is our soul's leech, that is our soul's physician, so grant you his pardon to receive, for that is best, I will you not deceive." Has a ray of God's grace finally penetrated the soul of this hardened cynic? Has he been so moved by his own sermon that finally he gets the point of it? But, as one is smiling at this satisfactory ending, he turns on again his salesman's pitch for the relics he has earlier denounced as fake to this very audience, and offers to give the host first go. Is the final sales pitch and the offer to the host just the Pardoner's joke that the host misunderstands or responds to in the wrong way? A number of explanations of the ending are possible, none of them totally satisfactory, leaving the Pardoner an enigma like the old man of his tale. Here is the beginning of the Pardonist prologue, where the host deplores the gory tale just told by the physician about a plot between a judge and a churl, a low fellow, which causes the death of a beautiful young woman. The host, making bad doctor jokes, jovially invites the pardoner to tell a merry tale as a change. The Pardoner's prologue and tale follow this exchange. The reader is John Rayner.